Sky Blue Stories is recorded at the Hills Podcast Studio at the Bella Vista Hotel.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, excited.
Thank you so much, and thanks for saying I'm your favorite player.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks so much for having me. It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
No problem, guys. Thank you for having us.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on here.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. Thank you for having me on.
Hey, guys. How are you going?
No problems at all, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. It's a nice introduction.
No problem. Thanks so much for having me on, guys.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for having me, guys.
A good laugh, a good chat. So I enjoyed it. Thanks, boys.
Hello and welcome to a very, very special edition of Sky Blue Stories.
New and improved.
Yes, very improved. You're joined today by your regulars, James P. Senton, and the thinning Sean Maloney, because you said you couldn't put on weight and you were going to the gym.
My healthy 75.
That type of
give
thing.
Me, good give BMI. Me a look at Chino and what
is Gonzalez?
Des and Troy. No.
Now, what are your biceps called? Chino and
Des and Troy, because together they destroy. I did watch the wrestle last night.
That is so terrible.
It's a good movie there.
And those dulcet tones you're welcomed with in your ear holes is the voice, pardon me, of Sydney FC's third favourite capo, Brendan Slowey. Brendan, welcome.
I will. Thank you, guys. I thought you were just going to leave it at the voice.
The voice, exactly. That was our Whispering Jack sign off for you last week. Obviously, to be fair, that was an Addison stitch up.
Yes,
that was not even planned.
I have to say, you guys did a fantastic job stitching him up last week.
He's a good bloke. He was not what I was expecting.
We were having a chat pre-game, myself and Reg, and we were like, I can't believe he went through the full Tavares story.
Yeah.
He didn't just play it away. He didn't play it away with a straight bat or anything. He was like, well, look, let me just tell you about this one time.
I don't drink
a
that
FC
much.
Player's dick.
Yeah. Addy got tickets on himself just a little bit, but you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look, he
Tavares
had
the exception to the rule.
He had the biggest stick in the podcast studio, that's for sure.
Speak for yourself.
So we are joined, of course, by Brendan Slowey this week. Jonathan Finger is, I don't even know what he's doing.
He's got a day in lieu. I don't know. He's had the day off, spending some time with the family and his son.
Which I'm surprised, because we've got you in the studio and Jonathan's favourite pastime is showing off his phone book and going, have you seen Alex Bross's number? And we've got Bo Bush here and all these other people. Like, I've got Andrew Redmayne and, you know, Brandon O'Neill and this person. And now it's just kind of less effective.
But we have unlocked an achievement with Brendan here. Slowey here.
Just call me Slowey.
It's just Slowey, yeah. I know.
Yeah.
It's like when you're in
like,
trouble.
Who's in the studio?
You're our one and only first recurring guest person back onto the pod.
It was never going to be Andrew.
No, he was terrible. Still the lowest ratings. But Brendan, congratulations. You are first recurring character.
Well, much like my appearance in The Cove, so.
not the first to be killed off, though.
No, yeah, give it time.
So we've got a bit of pod lined up for you. All the usual things. We've got the triumphant return of Middleby Lane, despite my best efforts. We're still doing a retrospective. But you know what that means if you've been listening to us for a while. It means Daddy's away. And we can be the pod that we should be.
The lunatics have the run of the
asylum.
Yeah,
we can be the pod that the people want. We're not hampered by political correctness. We're not hampered by totalitarian regimes.
The Pol Pot of the pod.
Like, string him up.
Yeah, the old ball and chain has been shaken off. So
Pol Pot, maybe?
Pol Pot.
I see what he's on there. Yeah. Of course, you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, your favourite podcast things, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Sean's starting a TikTok and a specific Hinge profile that's just the Sky Blue Stories logo to get more women into the Cove.
Yeah. I might actually do the interested in men and women just to expand the – I'm inclusive. Just, yeah.
Thank you to those of us who in the last week or two have joined our Patreon. Those of you on the Mark Yanko and Kevin tier, we greatly appreciate it. If you haven't already, tell your friends about it. You can give us a one-off donation, I think, because Jonathan will happily take your money to pay for his weekly chicken schnitzel. That's not true. He's going to be so upset with that one.
Yep.
He'll be really pissed off. All right, let's kick off as we normally do. Sean takes around the social grounds.
Well, let's kick this first one off with, where are we watching the MacArthur game on Saturday night?
Slowies, ladies.
I'll probably be at home with the two kids, but I
party
I
gotta, at Slowies.
I did like the cheeky little dig that Sydney FC official account had.
Yeah, with Brad in background and he's got a spare $50.
That's it.
Oh, look, it's just ridiculous. And the justification coming out of that camp to try and
What's the justification?
Lower capacities, so we want to give as much to the MacArthur Ball fans as possible. But if you look across the A-League, you know, for away fans, the cost to get to the ground is half price. But I think it's absolutely ridiculous when you... Like, who's in charge of this club? I know they've had a little bit of turnover with CEOs and chairmen and whatnot in recent times, but if you want to build your supporter base, if you want to build a rivalry, you need an opposition colours. So to push us out of the game, even just give us a bay of half that cost, a little bit in the corner, I don't care, but you want to build that competitiveness and at any ground, you need the atmosphere of the other team. What are you guys thinking?
Yeah, look, I think it's probably something that could be done league-wide. I know you guys have probably seen the thing in the UK, 20's plenty.
Yep.
You know, £20 for an away ticket, and I think, you know, they should probably institute something similar here. Quite often the away bays that we're given are the worst seats in the ground.
Mm. Central Coast Stadium.
Yeah,
not a bad place. Good stadium, but in that place.
Still in the corner,
close,
right?
To the palm trees.
And if you think of, like, you know, there's probably been a couple of years where the away attendance bar, you know, Sydney or Melbourne derbies have been pretty poor. If you think back to, you know, maybe when West Sydney came in, you know, they brought 3 or 4 bays worth of people to Newcastle. You know, we had, you know, 3 or 4 bays at the Mariners. These are the sorts of scenes that, you know, that we want to see. And I think, you know, Sean, you hit something on the head when it comes to a brand new fledgling club. You know, you want to be able to, they would want to be able to theoretically build some sort of rivalries with, you know, with the teams in this city. And by having tickets at that cost, you're just driving people away. And you think, you know, in a pandemic, you know, what's one thing that in a pandemic.
Well, people have little to no money at the moment. You know, they're struggling cost-wise.
Yeah,
and sport brings people together.
Yeah, and I think, as you said, you kind of want that that image of a full away bay.
Mm.
You know, it makes it that much better for TV, even though the singing's kind of muted. You know, you have to sit down, you've got the masks on. It still brings something that, you know, other sports here in Australia don't have.
Well, that's something very unique to the A-League, is that active away support, or active support regardless. Like, in the rugby league you can see fans from different colours, but that active support that are up there.
And I went to the AFL once and there was a Mexican wave.
Yeah, bugger that sport. That's not a real sport.
Reminds me
it's a game of tips with a ball. honestly, I can't stand it.
Game of tips,
I appreciate
with,
like,
ball.
With a bit of the athleticism, but otherwise. MacArthur Bulls, come on. Pull your finger out.
What I did like about the exchange on Twitter about the $50 away tickets was Danny Townsend, who of course is Sydney FC CEO, replying to a couple of people who were tweeting at him going, mate, what's going on here? And his response was, I share your Discord. I've raised my concerns with the club directly. It's clear they want to use COVID or the COVID limited seats to fill the stadium with their own fans, and if any of ours are willing to pay a premium to attend, they don't seem to care. Feel free to watch on KO or at the Star Casino, right? Cool. He plugged a sponsor. Yep. He plugged that. But just the attitude of, yeah, stuff them. Yeah, yeah. I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah. Look, I think we've been really blessed with Danny and also, you know, Tony Pignata before. We've had those two CEOs that, you know, are really willing to engage with fans and, you know, kind of tell us the truth, lift back behind the curtain and, you know, tell us what's really going on. So, what can we say about
it? What can you say? Question, follow-up question I want to have. There's these things coming out about how Danny's splitting half of his time between the club and kind of the new commercial deals that will be kind of A-League centric, right?
have you given much thought, or what's your opinion on that bit of a split and what it might mean for Sydney FC? I know personally, I don't think I've voiced this before even to you, Sean, or even on the pod. I'm like, oh, 50% less time, Danny's 50% less of Danny's time to me is a negative, because I'm a jealous hoarder and want, you know, all the good people for ourselves.
Danny for ourselves.
Yeah.
I think Danny, and good luck to him, because I think he's a brilliant operator.
Obviously.
He's got ambitions for something more, and all the power to him. What I'm trying to say is I think he'll want that top gig, maybe head of the A-League in days and years to come, maybe taking James Johnson's spot in days or years to come. So, and I, if that happens or he has a similar top job in years to come, whatever he's in charge of will be in extremely good hands.
Mm. What's your take, Slowey?
I think there's only a couple of really top operators when it comes to the, you know, the CEOs in the A-League. And I think, you know, we can all kind of see where the competition's at in the last couple of years, and with this, you know, whole unbundling from the FFA, I think we need people like him, people with a commercial background, people that understand, you know, what they're talking about. You know, you think about how Sydney FC's operated in terms of within the pandemic, we're still bringing in sponsors, we're still attracting, you know, commercial partners.
Mm.
And to have someone like that in charge, or, you know, helping to influence the entire league, you know, I think the guy down at Melbourne Victory, you know, they haven't had a couple of crash hot seasons in terms of
results
and stuff, but you know, they always do really, really well off the park. And Del Pietro is
his name.
Yeah. So I think, you know, guys like that, having them involved and having them try and pick up corporate sponsors, drive the game forward, I think it can only be for the better.
Okay, and I'm selfish.
I just think, you know, we've seen so much of, you know, we've seen so much of the league with its shackles on. It'd be really interesting to see what these guys, really, really smart operators, can do once, now that the shackles are off.
Yeah, very innovative.
Very.
The next thing I came across, guys, this is a little bit of an in-joke, Slow, if I can bring you into the inner sanctum, because you are in that seat at the moment.
Isn't he filling it out well, though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you trying to say?
It's to have someone in that seat who's not oppressive.
You know, we often would say big shoes to fill, but it's a big butt groove to fill at the moment. More cushion for a pushing, Jonathan. Anyway, so a few times over the last few months or so, we saw it with Ninkmas off Happy Ninkmas with All Sides of the Harbours post, was that there were several times so we had to do quite the double take, because we'd put out something and days, weeks, even hours later, the Sydney FC social pages would put out something, or our good mate Jamie Duncan at All Sides of the Harbour put out a post saying, yeah, Happy Ninkmas, and then literally within a few hours later, Sydney FC, oh yeah, Happy Ninkmas as well.
With a higher quality Photoshop, yeah, to be fair.
But
once imitations are sincerest form of flattery.
That's it, absolutely. So the last one, and maybe latest, we're reading into this too much, but it's good content nonetheless, is earlier in our podding, we had the Sydney FC Stock Exchange where we would say who we will want to buy, hold or sell. And lo and behold, Sydney FC have now brought out the Sydney FC head coaches that they would like to buy, hold or sell.
Is it not linked to a commercial?
Yeah, I was about to say that.
It is. So maybe I'm clutching a straw a little bit. God damn it.
Danny Townsend comes onto your podcast, steals your podcast idea and pitches.
Suddenly starts doing Facebook Lives.
Pitches it to a sponsor.
Take me on, please. Yeah. I'm ready to leave these guys behind.
Oh, harsh.
I'm there to the highest bidder.
Since we're talking buy, hold, sell. Jesus, I had to check that. Based on the last game, who would you buy, hold, sell? I know we're going to get into the analysis of the game, but just as a high level, really quickly, both of you on the spot, buy, hold, sell.
Can I have two holds? So I don't know if based on last performance.
No, you can't have special mentions.
I have to buy somebody on last game's performance. Oh, look, I love Braddon. I think there's little to no difference between his best and his worst game.
Yeah.
So I'd buy him. I'd hold on Trent. And you know who I'd sell. I'll just put it like that.
Really, you're that unhappy with King?
Yep. Yeah.
So now I'm gonna lift behind the curtain here, guys. I'm very bad at finance, so you guys are going to have to be my stock market advisors in terms of the buy I understand and the sell I understand, the hold.
You're not too sure about, you're going to wait and see.
We'll keep them. Okay, yeah. Okay. See how they go.
All right. So it's basically like who had a good game, who had a crap game, and who was kind of in the middle.
Yeah, and yeah. Who am I willing to give a second chance to?
Okay.
I'll hold on to the asset. Hopefully it appreciates and I get some money out of it, or, you know, not have to sell at a loss.
I've also revealed what an idiot I am to the entire podcasting audience.
I only knew this because I've done it.
The wife's in charge of the finances at home, isn't she? She wears the pants.
And everything.
Okay. I come, I pat the children, and here I am.
I was really worried.
No, I was paraphrasing you. I was
really worried. Well, he also got two kids. Oh, congratulations. Yeah,
well.
He's got
that on.
Jesus. I know. We need Jonathan here.
Yeah, we really do. The teachers come back.
Okay, so by probably, I think, in terms of who I thought had a really good game, I think Anthony Caceres, without having an amazing game, like I was saying to you guys beforehand, like I don't think,
that's fine. Okay, that was me.
I don't think anybody had a hugely impressive game, and I thought he and probably Ryan Grant were the best of a bad bunch.
Mm.
Oh. The hold, so keep and give another chance. I'll probably go with Benny Warland.
Yeah.
I've been really impressed with how he's played so far. I've really liked his carrying ability. Bring the ball forward. So I think it's really good to have a centre back that's a little bit mobile. Really unlucky for the own goal. And I don't think he's really done anything to sort of lose his spot. And then probably sell. This is really tough because I really, really like this player and I really rate this player. But I think if we look at the game, Joel King, there were quite a few mistakes. Really, really simple balls that were on.
My heart.
It hurts me to say it too, but I think, you know, if we're treating it like a stock market, that's who I would say.
Yeah, no, that's a tough decision. That's very cool. He's probably, you know, a lot more of a man of conviction than we are.
Yeah.
Because we become the easy targets.
I wouldn't be that brave to say King.
I'm selling Barbarossa's bang. Easy, yeah. Easy likes on Twitter.
Yeah. Also, like,
no, it's
not
good.
We're not selling any of these players. It's more just, yeah, we'll get into it.
Yeah. My buy would be Bratton because you can't not, or even my hold would be Redmayne because I don't think he deserves any sort of punishment or any sort of, you know, ill will for, you know, yeah, he's had a howler or two, but it's the start of a season. He's been solid since we got him, really. My sell.
Yeah, go on. Yeah.
Say it. The hate I'm about to get for this.
Oh, is that somebody?
Yeah, you're going to hate me.
Do it.
Ninkovic.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get into it when we review the game, but I don't disagree with you.
Ooh.
And I'll elaborate further.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, surprising, actually.
Yeah.
I thought there'd be. You don't agree with me either. No, fair enough. So that's our stock exchange. And then what's this?
Well, Sydney FC stock exchange.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Inspired by.
Yeah, thanks. And then the final bit.
And our last thing was our good friend Rowdy, Sydney FC Stats. He put out a best players Sydney FC 1 through to 11 who have literally worn the 1 jersey, the 2 jersey, the 3 jersey, blah, 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 blah. And he's had Bolton, Ryle, Gersback / Checkerly, Wilco, Yerman, Relante, Emerton was he was question mark over Dimi, Bobo, Ninko, and Mizajewski. Jonathan was a little bit disappointed that Carol Kissel missed out on either the 6 or the 8.
He's such a Carol Kissel fanboy.
He loves him. He's such a whore for him. But it's a very talented team if they were all able to take to the park at the one time.
So why would you put Relante in and not Bratton? At the number 6.
No. Just, what? No, Bratton doesn't wear
exactly. Yeah, okay, damn it, that was the trick question. Yeah. Bratton's to 26 because I looked at that. I'm like, surely Bratton's a low enough jersey number given his place in the squad. And
I was about to get really heated about Danny Vukovic, and then I remembered we had Vedran at the beginning of that season, and he didn't have the number one.
Yeah.
See, I also wondered that as well. So yeah,
Vedran would have had the snake eyes. Was it 00? That was a snake reference. Yep. Okay.
Very good.
Moving on from that, the next little bit was a little bit of club squad business. There's really nothing to talk about in terms of club squad business.
I've
pushed the TIFO thing into the club and squad business because it was, and so this is very dear to your heart because you've done many a TIFO over your time as
the
third best
capo. How many
have
you done?
Oh, mate.
As the third best capo, sorry.
Look, I can't. I've really want to stress right now. I cannot claim anything.
How many have you been involved in? Sorry.
About this TIFO, other than Addison asked me to show up early and help with it, and so I'm claiming that I'm still involved. I kind of do that once or twice a year, you know, like a boomer that has to like a boomer that has to.
You're not that old.
That has to. You know, they got those flight programs where they got to take like one flight a year to keep their points.
Oh, yeah. Points chaser.
Yeah, so that's what I'm like with TIFO. I show up once a year and I still get to keep
my status.
My TIFO crew card.
How good.
How many have I done? Oh, dude, I don't know. Like probably, how many did Addison say there was last week?
That would mean we were listening to Addison. It was
a
2-hour
four a season or something.
Yeah, give or take.
I'd say probably I've been involved in maybe about half of them, like all of the early ones. Mm. Yeah, I was just reminiscing with some of the guys as we were doing setup, and was just talking about. I used to drive a Nissan Micra, so I don't know if you guys know those.
Yes.
And if you ever
Google it.
If you ever remember the first TIFO that we did back from after we won the double, so we had a. Two massive pullovers of one of Terry McFlynn and one of Steve Corica,
yes, yep.
Holding the plate
and
the ring, and that basically was mushed into the back of my car for like 2 days. So you couldn't get into my car for about 3 months without just nearly passing
it. I was going to say it would have stank.
So I'd say probably about half, and I try and stay involved, but also I'm also cognizant that my wife doesn't want me out at a weird warehouse at 3 a.m. Now
I've got to bring them
doing,
along.
Doing Sorry, paint Craig. With my other men friends.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny, like my daughter's 4 years old, so she'd probably love to come along and get involved. Yeah.
Sydney FC Crash. Come on, Cove Crash. Can we? Yeah, that's a nice ring to it. A bit of alliteration.
See what you did there.
Where does this rank for you, Slow? It's a beautifully, beautifully done TIFO.
Yeah, look, I think one of the things that myself and Addison and probably all the guys will look at is, you know, we love them all, you know, because we're invested and we put so much time and effort into doing them. So one of the things that's sort of really gratifying for us is looking at the way that it's being received by others. And, you know, now I'm gonna do a Jonathan Finger bit right now.
Oh, no.
So after the game, I got a text from Terry McFlynn.
Oh, here we go.
I was just going to pick that name up from the ground. Hang on.
Jesus.
So, you know, just of course.
I thought there were chips in here and a couple of tickets.
So, look, you know, the players love it. You know, Redders Zulo, a couple other guys have commented on the official, you know, Sydney FC's official page or the Instagram page. Mm. So, and just looking at the way that other people have received it, you know, everyone's saying that they love the artwork. You know, I really like the detail in there,
yep.
Particularly around the rings and the plates and that sort of stuff. And what's really interesting is a really subtle little joke in there that no one seemed to pick up on.
Hang on, I think can I?
You may
speculate.
Yeah, go.
Not intentionally, I heard, but. ABJ is Judas?
Correct. So he's not Judas in the traditional sense of, you know...
Backstabbing and blah, blah, blah.
Killing Steve Corica. but Judas in the sense of, you know, he left the Wanderers for us. So it's a good, you know, nice little Easter egg and sort of, you know, Addy and Rowdy have mentioned, you know, we've liked to include, you know, little Easter eggs in specific TIFO. So it's sort of, you know, something we get a real kick out of when
That's what he said last week about the Terry McFlynn one.
There was
saying Terry that was
there's 15 panels.
That's the word.
15
panels in there. If you look at it, there's
that's what I was going to ask.
There's the coat of arms from where Terry McFlynn was born. There's the two A-League rings and plates that he's won that are all hidden in the design. So, yeah, just lots of little things like that that we like to get really creative with.
So while we've got you as well, how much planning goes into a TIFO, right? How many months in advance are you guys sketching it out and going, okay, we can work this element in here and I've got this idea and we can incorporate that?
Yeah, so like the answer probably, I don't know if you spoke to Addy about this or we spoke about it last time, but it's almost like how long's a piece of string.
Yeah.
So it really depends on what you want to do. The different ground sizes really make it quite different in terms of, you know, what you'll kind of go for. So, you know, very early on in the TIFO crew, we did a lot of pullovers, and so, you know, really big sort of big intricate designs. But one of the things that we realised was, you know, a lot of the detail was getting lost, like because of how crappy the rake was at the Sydney Football Stadium. You know, we did a really awesome piece, which was in the Grand Theft Auto cover.
Yep.
The Grand Theft Auto game. Really, really awesome piece. And like looking at all the photos of it, you can't see anything. Or like, you know, we did a really cool one of, you know, Samson taming the lion when we played the Raw. And again, unless you got a shot from almost the upper levels of the football stadium, you couldn't do it. So that sort of led to us starting to experiment with this. This one's called a static.
Yeah.
The one that we did on the weekend. So, you know, once we started doing those, you know, now people could really see the artwork that we were, you know, we were putting in. And it's also, you know, a lot easier for us to deploy. We don't have to worry about, you know, people not holding it or trying to, you know, it's not great podcasting, but I'm pushing my hands up in the air.
I just started mirroring you as well, though, right? So you got two idiots sitting across from each other at the desk.
We kind of look like Redders in that penalty shootout. So it'll all depend on what it is that we're going for. But usually I'd say in terms of the design's spoken about a couple of months beforehand. You know, we need to get it off to Joe Mappy. I don't know if any of you guys follow him. Sydney FC fan. He's a guy who has done a lot of the design work for our TIFOs. And then so we've got to wait on him to produce an image. Once we have that, then it's a matter of us deciding how big it's going to be, how we're going to deploy it, what are the elements that we want to have that kind of go with it. You know, at the football stadium, you know, one of the key things for us was we kind of decided, you know, we wanted to incorporate lots of challenging sort of different elements. And that's why when you guys asked me on the first time that I was on the pod what my favourite, you know, my favourite TIFO was, and it was the one with the helium balloons, and nearly no one would pick that. But the reason I like it is because there isn't a home end in this league that would have the balls to do that. Not and when it was failing, figure out a way on the day to get it done. Kind of like Addy was telling you about with the, you know, where we wanted to drop those two massive pullovers.
Off the mega screen too, yeah.
And we couldn't do it. We don't throw the toys out of the pram. We figure out what can we do, how can we deploy, what's, you know, what is it that we can do. So a lot of effort goes into it, and look, huge credit to the current version of the TIFO crew. In terms of the setup, so as I said to you guys, I was involved like in helping get it set up. Addy is run such a tight ship. It was the best setup that I've ever had. Smoothest that I've ever had. Normally you're in the stadium for 2 hours beforehand, you deploy it once or twice and it's a fucking shit show. But this was, you know, down to a science. So everything's, you know,
that's the teacher in Addy.
Teacher in him.
Super organized. Can we go through some of we'll go through the names. So from left to right, of course we've got the beautiful Redders.
Get it up on Instagram. If you're listening to the pod right now, go to the Sydney FC or the Cove Instagram page. Get it up, follow along.
Second from the left, Addy. Slowey.
Carol Kissel.
Wilco. Oh,
how excited would Jonathan be about that?
I thought it was Bjorn when I first looked at it, like from the hill, but no. Kissel, Wilco, Judas, ABJ. Of course, how do you mistake this one? Fifth from the left, Ryan Grant.
I thought that was brilliant. It was so voluminous, that mullet, right?
Is that?
Come on.
Brosk, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's other bearded players. But yeah, Brosk.
Yeah. So the thing about Brosk, right?
Other bearded tanned players.
Could be Zulo, could be Retray, could be Cassera. No, I know,
Zulo,
I know.
Zulo wouldn't come up above the rings.
Zulo's the only one standing in the actual picture.
Yeah. Then, of course, you've got Graham Arnold and Corica. He actually looks like my old PE teacher, Mr. Barakat, in that one.
Thanks for the trivia.
Next to him.
Yeah, this one stumped me as well.
This one stumped me. Slow?
Come on, man. I just said it. He's the only
player. Oh, is that Zulo?
It is Zulo.
That's Zulo.
Do you know, it looks like Benny Wallen a bit? Anyway. Keep going slow.
You next serious? Year.
Yeah.
Come on,
I'm
man.
Talking too much.
So next is Miloš Ninković.
Yep.
Adam Lafondra.
Yep, like that.
Bobo.
Brennan. O'Neill.
Vite.
And, of course.
T-Mac.
Yes. Yep.
See, I thought second from last was actually Frank Lowy.
Mate.
Obviously,
he would have fallen podcast. Over.
Yeah, obviously not. I thought that was brilliant and super inventive, right? Didn't think about what it could be, and then you put it up, and you're like, "Hang on, everyone there makes sense."
Yeah,
right. You don't have a person in that kind of Last Supper-y type situation where you go, "Yeah, but." Should they be there? Are they a good representative of the club? Like, they're all brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
I think it would have been hard to choose which ones get in and which ones are left. Cause
oh, yeah, totally, yeah. Right.
How young we are, or we missed out, I don't know.
You're looking at me funny, Slow. What's
there's one on there that...
Yeah. You would have left out?
We'll leave it.
Okay. What was, just while we're on the subject, what was your T-Mac text? What did he say when he saw it?
Oh, he's going to read it out. Yeah. Isn't it Sky Blue Stories exclusive?
Okay.
You've gone all the effort to name drop. We might as well give you the platform.
Slowy, what are you wearing? I mean.
Amazing TFO last night, mate. Thank you for including me. Very humbled.
Beautiful.
What? How good's that?
Did you feel quite chuffed getting that?
Look, you know, Addison said, you know, we exchange a couple of texts probably every year with T-Mac. So he's a really good guy. He's always the person to text and check on you. And you kind of, you never want to be the person who texts him. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to push the friendship.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So, yeah.
That's lovely.
Yeah, it speaks to the man, right? And the more people we have on, you know, we've been lucky enough to have Grant on, yourself, Addy, couple others. You never, even Jonathan, right? As much as we give him crap about name dropping, you never hear a bad story about Terry McFlynn, and it's just phenomenal.
Yeah, man. Look, he's a guy who he loves the club like a fan.
That's what you want.
Being on the other side of the country, you know, you can take the boy out of Sydney, but you can't take the Sky Blue out of him, so to speak.
So that's our team news for the week, which was really Cove news for the most part, which I think's a welcome change.
Rebrand
because,
the segment.
You know, last week our team news was Alex Grant going to Poyang Steelers something.
Dude, when that news broke, like...
Did you shit your pants?
I might have been one of the first people that replied to, I think it's Dumbarton Tom on Twitter, and... I was like you guys. I think I had an existential crisis. I'm like, what does Sydney FC look like without Ryan Grant? What does my life look like without Ryan Grant?
I did the same thing. I screenshotted and sent it into the Sky Blue Stories group chat we've got going. And I was like, oh, what? Jonathan, cool as a cucumber. Nah.
Fake news.
And I'm like, nah, this is terrible news.
I mean, you think about it. Like, he's done everything he possibly could with us, bar win the ACL, right? And so it's kind of, you know, as you kind of get a bit on in your career, maybe certain players, you know, they think they want to test themselves overseas. You know,
while they can before it's too late.
Danny Vukovic, you know, great example. You know, had an incredible season with us, got an offer from Genk, and then, you know, he was like, I love it here, but... I've, you know, my dream is to play in Europe. So there was just that I don't know that it's a nagging doubt, but it's just that little thing which is just like, you know, maybe it's true. And then the big thing for me was Pohang. Like, why them? Like, a team that has screwed over Ali Abbas and, you know, seems like they did a little bit of the dirty on Brandon O'Neill as well. So,
yeah.
It's just, yeah, it's almost like you could countenance him leaving, but not leaving
not to them.
To there.
Yeah.
So, anyway, it was very, very relieving once we were like,
wasn't it?
No. It's Alex Grant.
Speaking of Luka, did you see, you know, Mariam Chukwa, how do we say her last name? Do you remember how to say it?
No, I got nothing.
But she, you know, she's obsessed with jerseys, so she got a Genk Vukovic goalkeeper jersey.
Nice.
And after months and months and months and months of finally waiting to get it, it arrives.
Damaged.
And it's all damaged.
It looked like it had, like, cigarette burns
or
something.
Like, it looked like somebody tried to iron it. You know, when you've got that iron-on transfer and that kind of material, you don't iron it.
Yeah.
It looked like somebody tried to iron it. So she just, you know, you tag, you know, Vukovic.
I don't know. I don't think she did tag him initially.
Somebody else did. But Vuka's reached out and says, don't worry, I got you covered. I'll send you one. I thought, oh, that's quite
lovely. Sends her a jersey. And it's just like, how brilliant. So I think...
Is it time?
Well, hang on. I think... This is just proving all this reminiscing and talk about the Cove and Terry McFlynn and Vuka. We are super blessed at this club because can you think of any legends for Western Sydney Wanderers? Right? And I don't mean that as a slight, and I don't mean that as a let's, you know, build something up, but...
I don't think that we're the people to ask, but...
Shinji, no, but like, you know what?
Maybe.
Probably.
Yeah, so I'm... but. That have that involvement and that family atmosphere and whatnot. No, that's, you know, my sky blue coloured lenses on.
Well, I think like, again, not knowing too much, but like they've got guys, I don't know how legendary in terms of player status, but you've got guys like Halidi, who's in their coaching setup. You've got Dean Heffernan.
Yeah.
So they've got a couple of players who I guess are still sort of with the club. I think their big one, as far as I can remember, like Shinji Ono probably seems to be their big one, or Mark Bridge. Yeah. Like they really like Mark Bridge for whatever reason.
For some reason, yeah.
As you do.
Santa Lab.
I think,
God, terrible. Yeah,
that's great. That's great. I mean, he's someone to always bring us joy.
Yeah.
A lot of joy.
Lack thereof.
Yeah. So, Sean, over to you.
I think it's time. Jonathan's been hanging on to the pod, listening to this back. I think it's time.
I hate it so much.
But,
you guys need to get a sound effect that's just to do with going back in time, like the
Doctor Who theme or something.
Yes, I was actually thinking the exact same thing.
X-Files, like...
That's all we've got on here.
Sydney FC Mysteries or something.
Oh, this is probably more appropriate.
Yeah, that's more the calibre of this podcast.
Very nervously, I've got the honour of taking a trip down Middleby Lane. Sean, let me start again. Taking a trip down Middleby Lane. Kicking off. Now, this has got a very Australia Day. Are we allowed to say Australia Day anymore? No, it's got... Oh, that's a cataway. Oh, I won't go there. All right, sorry. I'm not Cricket Australia. Now, very Australia Day feel.
Doubles down, he digs.
On the 24th of the 1st, 2007, a 16-year-old left-back in Nicholas Sitalios signs with Sydney FC. And then on the 26th of the 1st, tomorrow, Sydney FC take a 2-goal lead in an impressive first half but concede a crucial away goal to Newcastle through Milton Rodriguez at Clint Bolton's near post.
Nice rolling of the R there.
Thank you. I like my Spanish. On the 25th of the 1st this week, Sydney, we smashed the Jets 4-0 in a sumptuous own goal by Milligan.
Hang on. Jonathan's written this for us.
Yeah.
And he's put in the word sumptuous.
Very good choice of adjective, Jonathan.
I'm very disappointed so far. There's not a lot of Melbourne away kind of facts, which
I know, right?
Is the big thing if you're in the Cove. This is the away game.
Well, we would be there now, you know, tomorrow if there was proper fixtures, which I'll ask you about slow in a moment.
Okay.
Own goal by Milligan in his homecoming game to Allianz, two from Brosk and one from former Jet Bridge. On the 26th of the 1st, 2012, the first Australia Day Big Blue fixture, and which has become a regular. Sydney down 2-0 at halftime would come back to draw 2-2. Ryle scoring a 90-minute equaliser after Bruno Cazzarin scored the first. Now, is that one Ryle really riled?
No. That's not
which was
the,
one of them we really riled up
that's the... That was not the you what cunts in front of the North Terrace. But that was probably one of the, I think, one of the best ever away days. Mm. We were talking, probably in our first chat, just how difficult it was, for us to beat Melbourne away.
Down there in those early years.
And, you always felt, if you got any sort of result down there, you always felt lucky. And, that one, there's a couple of really, really good photos from that away bay. So when Seba scored that one, I think a couple of guys went up and over onto the pitch as well.
I was so excited to see that Ryle had signed with Olympic at the start of last season, but sadly he's never found any game time. I don't know what happened with him.
Yeah, I was really hoping the club might do something to try and bring him back in. I think he's one of those players that I don't know if he must have lost the love for the game or whatever, but I.
Well, he's had his mental health issues and demons there, but I thought he might have kind of come out the other end or close to it enough to kind of find that love again with football.
Yeah.
But on the 26th of the 1st in 2014, Sydney smashed the Vuk 5-0 at the Etihad. In incredible scenes for the Sky Blues, Ryle with an absolute peach.
This is the one.
Hot knife through butter. Hot knife through butter.
A couple of scorers that game as well.
Yes. We had
being your 5-0.
Ranko in the 11th minute. The one and only Alessandro Del Piero in the 20th with a pen. And again in the 54th minute, Ryle at the 25th. And the wonderful Nicky Carl at the 87th minute.
This is the game for me, this next one.
Well, yeah, I know why, James. We caned the Marinators, on the 24th of the 1st, 2015. 5-0 against the Mariners. 5-1, sorry, with Mark Yanker scoring in the 16th minute. And the 48th, sorry, I should say. And the wonderful Chris Namoth in the 18th, Bernie Abini in the 44th, and the wonderful Alex Brosk in the 72nd minute.
How brilliant.
Yes, Yanker scored a double, James.
Yeah, thanks, mate. That was pretty important.
And last but not least, going back nearly 4 years ago, or 4 years ago tomorrow, on the 26th of the 1st, Yordi Boys debuts in front of 30,000 at Etihad. Jono's put in brackets. Jono and Val are there.
Jono and his wife were there.
Good on you, Jono.
To see Yordi Boys. I'm sure there are so many Sydney FC fans that are like, you know what? I'm glad I know what Jonathan and his wife were doing four years ago now.
I feel better. I can sleep soundly tonight. Geordie says best art is nothing Jonathan's special.
Hang on. Rewind. I'm sorry. I've interrupted. But
yes,
Jonathan's son is 3 years old.
Yeah.
This game was 4 years ago.
He'll be going on 4 years this year.
Yeah. And this game was 4 years ago now.
You're saying they consummated at that game?
At Geordie Boyce's debut.
In their toilets.
Do you think... No, she's a lovely woman.
A bit classier than Jonathan.
When they got back, but they were so overcome with Boyce. Jonathan, can you write to us at skybluestories@outlook.com, given that you're no longer part of the podcast?
Yeah, so he's taking a spot.
Yeah, and let us know if that was the game where your son was conceived.
What's his son's name?
Zachariah.
His middle name?
Geordie? I actually don't know.
Zachariah Boyce.
But Geordie Boyce said that Bessart is nothing special.
Yeah, I do remember that.
I remember that little bit of confrontation. And then you got a Beanie and Holosko score from a behind win.
You struggled with that.
Yeah, I did a bit. But there are also a few birthdays this week. The Ryan Teague is, as you know, any of you, is over in Portugal. He's 19 this week. Yesterday. Julia Vines, who I'm a big fan of, 25th today. She's 19. Happy birthday, Julia. And the wonderful Seam de Jong, on the 28th, a little bit later this week. He'll be 32, so still fairly young.
And hang on, was
where is he now? He went to the MLS, and now
he's back in. He's back in Europe. Somewhere. He's Eric back in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
Heerenveen.
I thought he wasn't getting any game. Yeah, he wasn't getting any game time for somebody, and then he's just moved to them, hasn't he?
He went to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
In the US after us. Mm. Oh no, he went to Ajax, then Cincinnati, and now yes. He's back somewhere in.
Because he actually had some Champions League minutes.
Yes, he did. Back for Ajax. Now was it? And I might be misquoting Addison here, but is it you? Partly you. We have to thank for the Sim De Jong song.
The song, but not the enjoyable bit. So I came one day and Addy was up there, and I was like, you know the song Daddy Cool, and Addison actually didn't get it right, but the way like his inflection that he put in the song actually made it better, and then so we did a couple of rounds, and then yeah, as he said, a couple of guys, so Jono, Chris Tedo, and Pat Manfred, who's now on the Sydney FC staff, they added the massive schlong part. And, of course, as soon as that came in, that's why the song took off. So
it's so good.
Yeah.
Probably, it's a cheap shot, but probably one of my favourite songs.
It's not even a cheap shot.
It's,
like, yeah,
it's just
wouldn't you be running
proud?
Around
like, yeah,
yeah.
I wish I had a song. Like
I just like how unexpected it was because first time I heard it, right? And you're like, sorry, what? And then it happens, and then you know you've got Adam Lafondra putting it up on Instagram stories and all sorts of things, right? So it was a brilliant little song. That's our trip down Middleby Lane, I think.
I'm not going to do it.
No, please. No outro. Yeah, that's better. So now we move on to our review of our game against Central Coast Mariners. Obviously, very disappointing 0-2 loss at our first proper home game of the season. It was nil all at halftime. Attendance of 5,320. Goodness me. That was pretty disgusting. You said you weren't good at finance and maths, Low. That was atrocious. Unchanged starting 11. The only difference being that this week we had Callum
and Geordie Swivel.
And Geordie Swivel on the bench. No Zulo or Ivanovic. Don't know why Ivanovic. Zulo, I think, is injured again.
Calf, I believe. Something niggling, unfortunately. You know, they haven't put an ETA on his injury. But Corrick could describe, he, I don't know, sometimes with Stevie, with how he... there's a few questions I've got with Corrick, but just sometimes I find when he does his little press conferences at the end of games and the like, I just find him too nice about the team. I just want him to be a bit more honest, a bit more, I don't know, blunt. But he called the goals... I don't know if it's like being ducks and drakes and he's just playing up to the opposition, but... He called them an own goal and a deflection that we meant that we lost the game. So he's really downplaying his team performance as well as the Mariners. Slowey, you know, you were at the game. You said you went home, took off the beer goggles and watched the game back again. Was there much of a difference between what you saw at the ground to when you watched it on telly?
Yeah, look, I did have a couple of shandies. and I know Addison's tried to stitch me up already, so he will be paying for that. But look, I think when you're in the ground, there was a real, real tangible sense of frustration. Nothing that we did seemed to come off, and the more that we tried... the more sort of nothing would happen. And I think that led to, you know, a lot of frustrations of those 53,000 people. But look, having watched it again, I think it was a really even game. They probably shaded it and probably deserved to win. Mm. We did some pretty decent stuff, but I just think sort of, as has been symptomatic of the previous two games as well, we seem to be doing really well getting the ball kind of into that front third. And then once we get to that front third, it's either the ball that we try isn't on, we run into a channel, and we're just too slow.
We look a bit lost, a little bit.
We're just that little bit too slow. And as such, you know, just by the time that we figure out what it is that we want to do, the chance is lost. You know, in that game, like, how many clear-cut chances were there for either side? I mean, you wouldn't.
Yeah, it was kind of a real midfield battle. You said it well. We have a few beers before the pod records, and so if I can repeat something that you said before we got on to here, and I'll preface this by saying I feel like, where's the team that played the ACL just a few months ago? And yes, we finished what bottom on the group, but we actually played quite decent, very well actually, over those four games. And I'm like, where's that team? We look quite red hot more often than not, and we're unlucky to get the results, the draw, and the couple, you know, the losses that we did. But you said that there's a big difference, or a difference between those Asian teams that we've been playing against and these Aussie teams.
Yeah.
And what did you notice that difference was?
I think the big thing is that in Asia no one fears us. So no one's sitting deep against us. Mm. They've got higher caliber defenders. Whereas, you know, the teams that we play here, they know what to expect from us. They've played us, you know, we've been the top team in the competition, for the last 5 years. So everyone sits deep against us, and everyone lets us come onto them. Like, you only have to look at that game. Like, whenever we would have the ball and we're playing out from the back, you know, there's 10 yards for our centre backs or our full backs to just run the ball into before we end up playing our first pass. So just that lack of space, you know, we were kind of talking about Trent Bahaja and just sort of, why did he look so good in the ACL versus why is he struggling at the moment? And there's no room for him to run in behind. The two or three times that we did get it into him behind, you know, he created that one chance where he flashed it across the box, and just that unlucky deflection in the first half just took it past Costa. Yeah. So I just think whatever attacking structure that we're looking at is maybe it's time for a revisit, because we just can't get those the two quick guys. We just can't get them.
There's several things I'd like to change. We'll get that. We'll move to what we'd like to change to come. But I feel when we get to that final third, other teams are smart enough to know what to do with us in terms of sitting deep. And B, I just think we're lacking a severe lack of creativity at the moment. I don't know if that comes from the structure or the formation or what, or just the other teams. I kind of feel like Corica's maybe over-coaching them too much. We noticed this when we were on the hill on Friday night, that they had quite a habit of going, like the wingers and the like, going right to the byline of the opposition and cutting it back. These low balls on the ground, cutting it back towards the...
Back
into the edge of the 18-yard box. I'm like, okay, try that once, twice, maybe thrice. But it just wasn't working.
And you were so frustrated.
And it was like they had maybe run a practice at training that week of like little passing practice, go to the byline, cut it back. But so many times they cut it back and A, it wasn't to feed, or B, there was just nobody there. I'm like, what that? And like you said, with these A-League teams, they know how we play, so they're going to sit a bit deeper or a lot deeper. So if you're going to cut it back like that and go to the byline, well, that gives the opposition even more time to drop back in and close the space. So put a cross in earlier, put a through ball in, or if not, if the space ain't there, pass it all the way back to Benny or Wilco or McGowan when he gets his time, or all the way back to Redders, reset, and just start again.
Well, I think we're doing that. Like, I think from what I can see is just that we're kind of horseshoeing around the top of the box, and we're not, you know, as you spoke to with the lack of creativity, there's no one who wants to drive into that box. There's no one who wants to play that pass, and that's kind of why, you know, particularly right that sort of 70th minute onward, where people were getting really, really frustrated with the team, is because we kept trying those small, intricate passes, but no one was driving forward, no one's going into the box, no one's taking a shot. So it's just this constant recycling of play without any actual intent.
It's almost a little bit conservative, nothing positive, like chancy hand, play the ball, not enough movement off the ball to play forward.
Yeah, or just no one wanting to take that ownership and to just say, you know what, I'm going to be the person, like, you know, in the derby. So, you know, it wasn't until we were doing nothing attacking-wise until Ninkovic said, you know what, I'm just going to run. I'm going to run with the ball. And he made, you know, he made the penalty happen because, you know, he was actually willing to take on a player. We just didn't, we didn't have that. We just, as we said, we can get the ball forward really well, but it's just, we take so long to decide what we want to do in that final third that by the time that we want to do it,
the chance is gone. That's why I kind of found about Caceres. He was looking for something and an often kind of cut across that 18-yard box and move around with it. But he's, I don't know, maybe either he's looking for somebody to make that run forward like Aninko did in the derby, or derby as you like to pronounce, and then, or like just take a shot earlier, you know, chance your hand. But
I don't know. The thing that's got me is, first one, that's a level of analysis that we probably wouldn't get from Jonathan in terms of your comments on the ACL. And I don't even mean that as a slight against Jonathan. I totally do. But I hadn't thought of the Asian teams not being as intimidated by us, playing a higher line gives Trent a bit more breathing room to use his pace until you said it over the beer before, right? And I'm like, makes perfect sense. Like, now it's one of those aha moments. You say it and it's like, maybe we shouldn't do the pod.
If you don't hurt me after the game.
So how do we, what do we do? So, like, I have, well, one
that,
of my
that
questions.
Comes back to my cell, right? We're lacking a bit of creativity. I think my cell was Ninkovic. He's a little bit off form. I haven't found him as impressive. He's silky smooth and, you know, he does his cool little juggle over the top of players to keep possession and whatnot, and that's pretty cool. But he's not creating as much as he was.
Well, I would say with Ninko, can we expect to see 90 minutes? It's helped at the moment with him getting 90 minutes because we've had like 2 weeks between games because of this COVID restriction interruptions and stuff.
But should he go hard for 70?
Yeah, like, can we expect to get 90 out of him, or should we play him for 70, come off for ABJ, or start ABJ and then Ninko comes on for
an impact or 20?
Like
a Brosque role.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
look, in his last season,
I think that that's probably where, maybe not this season or maybe towards the tail end of this season, that's what we should start thinking about doing. I just don't know about taking him off. I think Addy touched on something really, really interesting last week, which is something that when you start to watch the games just that little bit more, you know, he's an outlet for us, you know, when we're under the press. He's so good on the ball that it's just, I think if you take him out, you know, everyone kind of looks to him, the ball comes to him, and he's, you know, he can hold off a person, he can pivot, he can pass. He sets so many things in motion. I just worry that if we took him out of the team as opposed to Caceres, and I know that's, I know that's, you know, Caceres is the, you know, it's the stock that I would buy. But I think he's too important. He's a linchpin in our team. Yeah. So I'd be very cautious.
Oh, that hurt to say, right?
I'd be very cautious to do that just because I'd be interested to see our ability to play out the press.
Yes. Well, where's and you know, to totally poo-poo me. you get rid of Ninko, and realistically currently, where is our quality up front? It's kind of gone. It's Caceres is, I feel like, playing a little bit more sideways than he has been perhaps towards the tail end of last season. You know, he's doing a couple of nice link-ups with Grant, but he's passing inwards. He's not passing forwards, right? There were a couple of good crosses to Adam Lafondra last year, you know, into the box, working in, that type of thing. Hasn't been as much of that so far this season. I know we're only 3 games in, really. But, you know, like I said, to playing devil's advocate against myself, you get rid of Ninko, where's our quality up front?
So who, after last Friday, who would you say who's feeling the pressure?
So on my rewatch of this game, I you know, as frustrated as everyone is with Costa Barbarousis, I didn't think that he had a particularly terrible game. Now, I know that's not very on brand for this pod.
No, that's fine.
He was
Do we have a reputation?
I thought, look, you know, he's playing like a guy who's under pressure, right? So, you know, we were talking about the chance that he had, two of the chances that he had in the first half. He had the one at sort of 2 or 3 minutes where, you know, a guy who's full of confidence probably smashes it in, or he plays it directly across to, I think, Trent Bahaja, who was waiting sort of at the far post for a tap-in. And then the one that he had where Joel King cut it back for him and he swiveled and he kicked it out for, I think, a goal kick. But, you know, a player on form puts it on target. I think Trent, on the watch, like he did a couple of really nice things, but I felt like he was really struggling to get into the game. Like a couple of times in that first half, like we kept trying to get the ball to him on the right-hand side or try and get him in behind, and, you know, he'd take an over touch or the ball wouldn't come through to him or he'd run into blind alley. And I just found he couldn't, for whatever reason, he couldn't get going. So in my opinion, I think he with the, you know, with the fitness of Bobo coming up, he would be the person that I would say would be most looking over his shoulder. And also, we all know that Steve Corica loves Costa Barbarossa. So,
yeah, so I don't, this is the bit that gets me.
Is that his
why? Why do you think?
Is it
a decade worth of, you know, good performances, and I know the quality's there in the back of my head? Like,
yeah, it's really hard, isn't it? Because, you know, Reg and I were talking. Reg and I were talking pre-game, and you know, you're looking at footage of him at Melbourne, and just seeing him in that fast sort of mobile front line, and the guy is just,
you despised him because of how good he was.
Look, he seemed to score or assist against us in nearly every game that he played against us, and it's just sort of, yeah, we have an older, slower, less confident version of that player.
But in his defence, and this is also on Rand, slowly, that I really, and we'll get to this a little bit further, but he's not being played in the right position. So in his defence, and this is probably has hurt his confidence, he's been played too centrally, too much pressure put on him. He should be that wide guy hugging that sideline and then looking for a target man like a Bobo, or what he had back then was Beshart Berisha. Yeah. And looking for him.
Yeah.
Wonder where he plays for New Zealand.
Oh,
and I'm going to Google that right now, right? Because like this idea of playing centrally, and you know what? I've had a come to Jesus moment over the last couple of weeks. You know, he's going to come good. He's good to, you know, and you'd want the guy to succeed. You'd want him to stay on. If you go back, you know, like you said, to his previous performances against us. At Victory, where he would score or assist almost every game against us, you'd want that player in your team, and then you'd want to re-sign that player on another 2 or 3 year contract, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, you look at last year; he probably scored the most important goal in terms of our
Melbourne City one,
in terms of our league performance. And look, I thought that game, you know, with 10 men, he was absolutely immense as well in that game. So.
You just need to play with 10 men more often.
Well, there's flashes, but it's just sort of like, I think, as you said, how do we unlock that
unleash
player?
Him, yeah.
Because he's still there. Maybe it is a confidence thing. You know, maybe he needs a couple of good performances, and he'll be fine. I'd be very interested to see him with Bobo. If he can sort of, you know, if he can work in the big man, small man system. And that'll be really interesting for us, I think, as well. In the, you know, we talk about the 2-2-2. You guys, I'm the same as you. I'm not a fan of the formation at all. I don't think it suits our players, which is very hard to say. You know, it's very hard to say. Like, how can you argue with Steve Corica?
He's club legend.
He's won two rings and a plate with this formation. So
yeah.
But you've got to evolve at the same time. So, okay, before I get to the chat about substitutions, if you were Corica, or if you could talk to him in and listen to you, what would you tell him? Tactically, formation?
Right, what would you ask of him?
So the first thing I want to preface this is I have the worst football opinions ever. So I don't want him to listen to me at all. But what I would say is, in terms of that team, I think – the last 2 weeks, I don't know how injured Callum Neuenhoff has been. I suspect he might have been pulled out of the starting lineup just because he's a young player and maybe we don't want to expose him. You know, Derby might be a bit much for him, but I think he has to play. He is so key.
Absolutely.
With Luke Bratton to have a player that is fearless on the ball, who will carry the ball from midfield, who gives us everything that Paolo Retre gives us and more. And again, not a slight on Paolo Retre. I thought, in terms of the Derby, I thought he was our best player on the park. But I just
think that
this kid has something. He has something. Special. And we have to play him. And if we don't play him, we will run the risk of losing.
He was our best player of the ACL. I find with Retre, he's too similar to Bratton. Like that, they'll both hold. They're both very holding mid. Well, I will say with Callum is that he provides a lot more than Retre playing forward, and he's got a bit more creativity. He's got that swagger. Maybe it's because he's a young kid and he's got something to prove, and he wants, you know,
confidence.
And
and
he's confident and maybe a little bit cocky, but God, you need that in a player. So I want to see Callum partner with Bratton, and then with Retre, I know he'll probably get, oh shit, I'm back to that utility spot off the bench again, like he had been for a couple of seasons or more with us until finally O'Neill and Brillante left. So,
yeah. Look, I think in an A-League squad, you know, there has to be certain types of players that you have that fill out the squad. And I think a guy like Paolo Retre is a very important player to have in your squad because of, you know, when he comes in and he plays, for the most part, he's giving you a 6 or a 7 out of 10.
He'll do a job.
Yeah. He has the occasional shocker, like is the first game at Bankwest, but we don't want to want to talk about that Derby. But I honestly think like he's a fantastic squad player, but we have to see him for what he is, and we have to see Callum Neumhoff for what he is. And I think if we want this team to be the best that it possibly can, that's the kind of player that we want in that double pivot. And that's the kind of player that, you know, that makes that 4-2-2-2-2-2, it makes it work, because instead of having two pivots who sit and stay, you've got one who will actually, you know, advance the ball into midfield, and, you know, it makes, so then, you know, that pivot becomes a one in attack in Bratton, who stays and sweeps, and, you know, he moves into the middle. So I think, to me, that's what I would ask
Steve start every day of the week.
I think he has to be one of the, if he's fit, he's one of the first names on the team sheet. It's him and Bratton. And this is the other big thing. We need a partnership. We need a Brandon O'Neill, Josh Brillante, Brandon O'Neill, Luke Bratton type partnership. So that partnership has to build throughout the year.
No, wasn't that a great 6 games, that partnership, right?
Mate, this is the thing. Like, we were all pining for Brandon O'Neill, but, you know, if we've got this kid here and he could be an absolute diamond.
Yeah.
He could go levels beyond Brandon's, and I'm a massive, massive Brandon O'Neill fan. I think Callum Neumhoff is, we've waited for so long for someone to come out of our academy, and I think we have to do something.
Well, you could have found him.
So who was it last year that you and Jonathan had the man crush on? Because then that we lost, we sold him, or they signed with
Marco Tilio.
Was it Tilio?
Well, are you talking about Ryan Teague?
Might have been Teague. I don't know. You guys were upset in the off season.
You're talking about Jake Holman.
Thank you,
Holman. But he plays a little bit higher.
I just meant the way Slowey's like espousing Neumhoff is the way. I think it might have been Kaczowski, actually. Yeah, whatever. It reminds me of the passion that you guys had for Kaczowski or whoever.
Those boys still a couple. Well, Holman's getting time over at Carthur, but Holman and especially Kaczynski is still a couple of years away from, you know, week in, week out A-League. But would we change the formation? I'll say yes on everyone's behalf. We've done this before, right?
4-2-3-1.
Yeah, Jonathan likes a 4-2-3-1 with Bobo up top. Who would be your three?
So, a 4-2-3-1. So in the three, probably. So Ninkovic on the left, in the middle, I would really, really like to see ABJ in there.
Ooh.
So I know it's a little bit controversial. No. But I think when we bought him, right, you know, where did he play for Wanderers? He played in the hole. Mm. And the reason that he was bought specifically was the amount of through balls that he, you know, he played. He had the most through balls in the competition. I'm pretty sure it was highlighted by the Sydney FC official Twitter account or whatever. So he had the most through balls. So the idea obviously was when we were purchasing Costa Barbarousis, we were getting a far, you know, Costa Barbarousis, Adam Lafondra, we were having two fast, nimble forwards, and then we were buying this guy who was supposed to be this through ball machine, who was basically going to play as one of the two number 10s that we had that would feed balls through. So I think when we look at, we talk about playing Costa Barbarousis out of position more, you know, Alexander Bar-Miohane, he's not a wide player. No. And putting him in spaces where he can't operate effectively, I think, is maybe one of the more frustrating things that sort of happened. I would love to see him play in the middle, Bobo in front of him, and then, you know, to the left, we've got Ninkovic, or we can put in Alex Caceres, and then on the right, I think you go with Costa Barbarousis or Trent. So you can, if you want to go super attacking, you pick Costa and Trent either side of Bobo, and maybe you go with a 4-3-3.
Yeah.
But I just think that would just be really interesting to see him play through the middle.
But that's what I would have, a 4-3-3 with Bobo, Trent and Caceres.
Okay.
Left and right.
See, this is the thing about our squad, though, right? You've come up with a different 4-2-3-1 than Jonathan and I have come up with. Nothing, you know, no slide on that. You've got a 4-3-3. We're playing a 4-2-2-2.
I think you can pick. I think our squad's just, I think it's suited, as you guys said last week, to a 4-2-3-1 or a 4-3-3. And we almost have a really good combination of the different types of players that you can put into that system and play different ways. Like, I don't know if you guys got really excited at the beginning of the year with the Max Burgess rumour.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
yep.
I know there are a couple of people who were kind of down on it, but I was really, you know, that's a number 10, a style of number 10 that we don't have, a ball-carrying number 10, someone that likes to shoot, ghost in between lines, that sort of stuff. So, you know, again, that would make that 4-2-2, you know, one of those wide 10s would be very interesting, or, you know, would allow us to play 4-2-3-1.
Yeah, I wonder what he's doing.
I wouldn't be surprised if he turned up with us next.
Yeah. No. So the next thing I want to talk about.
Actually, before we move on, because I do want to interrupt. Something interesting that did come out was the Sydney FC Twitter account tweeting Corica's comments at the end of the game. And to read them out for you very quickly. Corica said, Costa's working extremely hard for the team and he's also doing his job defensively. Now, I can't dispute that. He does track back quite well. He does put in a couple of tackles or at least gets in the way, right? The chances aren't falling for him at the moment. That's something we need to improve. Well, he's very motivated. Now, Sean, I thought you'd find this next bit interesting. We got in the box enough times. It just wasn't our day. We spent most of the time in their box. We got caught out a little on the counter. Now, very well documented, easy to see we got caught out on the counter. But this is probably one of your pet complaints, is all we do is work it into the box and we don't take a shot.
Oh, look, sometimes I feel like they just want to walk it into the six-yard box. Like, okay, try it once or twice, but, like, have a little bit of variance in your in diversity in your attack.
So
it just seems a bit same.
You've essentially got horse's mouth, right?
It's all well and good to, we had much more possession and field position than them. So what's been called effective in possession. So, and it's not unusual for a team to win a game and have more shots despite having less field position and possession in the game. So that's what we failed at on the weekend, on Friday night, was being effective in possession. It's what you do with the ball than how long you have it.
And you know what's something fascinating that I heard, actually even from the Cove when we were there last week, was, and I haven't heard this for a couple of years, I heard it a lot when I first started going, but I haven't heard it for a couple of years, and it was shoot. It was people screaming shoot.
Yes.
And I haven't heard that in years. I heard it for Neuenhoff when after he scored the first one and his first touch of the ball at Wellington Phoenix, right? But I haven't heard it for years.
Yeah, as I was saying to you guys, I, you know, thinking about what the impressions were when we were in the ground. It was just that deep, deep sense of frustration in terms of we have all this possession and we're not doing anything with it. We're so slow. No one wants to take any ownership or accountability to have a shot, to make that pass, to drive in and shoot. We're just doing this tippy-tappy horse-shelling at the top of the box. And look, just to, I guess, touch on something that Sean was just saying, I think, you know, a lot of that possession when it comes to stats and the shots and that sort of stuff, how much of that occurred when we were 2-0 down? You know, when the Mariners had no reason to come out and attack us, no reason to, you know, to want to play.
And I think the that frustration you talked about, so especially from probably, what, the 70th odd minute, was probably compounded that...
Your other pet peeve.
No, what I'm saying is it probably compounded because it was the Mariners, and I reckon people walked into the ground thinking, yeah, we'll win 2-0, we'll win 3-0, we'll win 4-1, here's 3 points, and we weren't expecting to lose to the Mariners. Maybe if it was somebody else, like a, I don't know, not Victory at the moment, maybe Melbourne City, I guess, maybe someone I could say that would be not okay to lose to, but it'd make more sense. But I think, you know, Mariners, what do they say? They haven't beaten us for like 6 or 7 years.
I always hate when they bring those stats out at the beginning of a game.
No, just
you know you're about to lose, so right?
I think that. Now, the substitutions. I think strikers, I think Bobo
Hang
can...
On, let's oh. read out your notes.
Oh, look, I said the substitutions were ridiculous and perplexing.
I wanted your commentary on it.
Especially one of them. So he had Bahaja off for Geordie, Costa off Pat, Retre came on for ABJ, off for ABJ, and Caceres for McGowan. Now, there was one of those that was the most perplexing of all. Everyone, take a guess. I'll give you a few seconds. And I think Bobo is probably not looking over his shoulder going, I have to watch out for Ryan McGowan now. He might take my spot.
I don't get it. I remember being at the ground.
What did
your beer goggles say to you at the time,
Sly? Were they any different when you had them off and you were sober?
Much of it is unrepeatable.
a lot of expletives. So vitriol.
We did stitch him up before the pod, Addison, but we're not going to do that live.
I think some of Stevie's comments just kind of resonated a little. When you were just watching it, like, we were never going to score. It seemed like one of those games that we just, for whatever, however long we would have had the ball, we could have played another 90 minutes. We would never have scored.
I kind of felt it was like, I'm out of ideas. I'll put on the two young kids, throw on the tall. He looked over the bench. Who's tall? Ryan's going, yeah, I'm pretty tall. All right. It's like what I would do with my all-age Enfield team when we're down a few goals to nil and the centre-back goes, come on, Sean, don't be slack. Can I have a run? I never get to play up front. Oh, all right, off you go, centre-back.
I think in these sorts of situations as well, like Trent is the last one that I want coming off when a game is stretched.
Absolutely.
And I think maybe just with him, maybe he has to be someone that we just say, look, at the moment, we're having problems getting you into the game. So we want to put you on for 30 minutes against tiring legs, and, you know, we're going to do the dirty work for you. We're going to do the hard work for you. We're going to, you know.
So you'd rather him coming off the bench?
At the moment, I think so. I think against tired legs, particularly, you know, I don't know how fast their centre backs are, but we never sort of put Trent in a race against them, you know, and maybe that was because they did sit so deep, or, you know, but the two or three times he got in behind, he did something dangerous. So. Yeah, I don't think taking him off is a good idea. I think, you know, you go, especially when you're sort of 2-0 down at that stage, you just bring all the strikers on, take all the midfielders off.
Hoof it long and hope for the best.
Go for it.
I didn't mind seeing Caceres drop into the midfield alongside Bratton.
Yeah.
I didn't mind, even though I'd probably prefer Caceres playing up front because he's got a goal in him, but... He is a creative player, so Callum-esque in that he can drive forward and penetrate a ball or two.
Yeah, look, I think we played him there a couple of times last year as well, and he's good for that Ninko being able to beat a press. I don't know that he loves it being back there, though. You know, he has, I think he's a player who likes it just that little bit further up the pitch. I don't think anything went for us that game.
Now, I don't think it's alarm bells, James.
I was going to ask.
But I don't think it's keep the faith. There was something on Twitter somebody put that said something about Corica copying and pasting for next week.
Oh, yeah, so I've got it here. If Corica is going to go into next week with a copy and paste effort with the same lineup, fans will rightfully be feeling fed up. That performance and result has to institute a change.
That's the line I like.
Carrying too many passengers tonight.
I don't know about carrying passengers, but I do like the institute change. I think that's the line, that's the word that I took out of that tweet from Sky Blue Views.
My left of field take on that is absolutely no change because the time to change was the beginning of the season. You don't get three games or halfway through a season and change your formation unless you change managers. We're not going to change managers.
No, I don't think I don't think it has to be an overhaul, but I certainly some changes in the starting 11 need to happen. If Zulo is fit this weekend, I know we'll talk about the MacArthur game, but I want to see him there. No offence, Joel. Bobo's still probably at least a fortnight away.
He looks so fit, though. He's making IKEA furniture currently.
Costa... do I want to see him on the bench? Yes, maybe, probably. But, I don't know.
So
but who do I put on him?
And that's the thing. Like you've got no replacement. You chuck him on the bench and try and make a statement about it.
Or do you give like the young boys like Geordie Swivel or Pat Wood going, all right, here's more time. He's 70 minutes to do something until you come off or something.
Look, for me, I think Zulo. We were having a bit of a chat beforehand. I think Zulo is a big piece of our attack, and I think again, nothing against Joel King. I think he's been absolutely fantastic, but just watching us try and attack the Mariners, everything's coming down our right side, and then when we do kind of go to the left, the cross is never good, or there's a few heavy touches, or taking the ball out into touch. So I just think that maybe we sit him for a couple of weeks, and if Zulo's fit, and we see how we go. Because I just think that variance and trying to do things a little bit differently, trying to be potent from both sides of the pitch, maybe it'll bring something. I think
Maybe we're overworking Grant a bit too much as well.
Even
though he's got an engine on him, jeez.
Yeah.
Well, you could see that, every time we would go to the right, the Mariners are just sort of herding us down alleys where there's nothing on. We're trying these balls to Trent, and he's double marked. Balls going out into touch. So.
Yeah, and not Sydney FC related, but just on the game as well. Alan Stadjic, what a coach!
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. It says a lot about a guy. Maybe the Matildas are probably thinking maybe we should have kept him. But anyway, That's the mafia inside of the Matildas camp that got rid of him. Sorry. Stefan. Yeah, I would have kept Stadjic. Anyway, who's the name of the Matildas coach now? I can't remember. He's some Swedish guy. I don't remember where he came from.
Wonders with the team was the point.
Yeah, I'm proud of Stadjic because, look, I would have loved those 3 points, but part of me is kind of happy for the Mariners because they've had a lot of shit over the last few years coming last and wooden spoons. And
Look, you hit on it a little bit earlier. Like, I think the perception of who the Mariners are really kind of influenced people's opinions post-game. But, having watched it again, I was very, very surprised at actually how decent a team they are. And I think, Oli Bozanić, for me, the best on pitch. He won the midfield by himself.
Yeah.
And, I think, we mentioned, you felt Ninko maybe didn't have such a great game. If you watch the footage, he is all over it. Bazan's all over him like a rash.
Yeah, okay.
Little fouls, cheap little niggles here and there, causing Ninko to lose his cool.
There is a lot to be said about how much you miss at the ground, right? So, good call out, and probably something I definitely know I want to do but don't do enough is watch the games, or at least the minis back, right? We used to do it before we started the pod, and then we got drunk on our own success and we just don't do it anymore. So I guess the final item's our SFCU votes. Now, assume you're well-versed in this, 6 votes, divvy them up however you like. Who do you all, or how do you distribute your six?
So I'm just going a straight 50-50 in this. So I think Anthony Caceres gets three for me, and Ryan Grant got three.
Ooh, Caceres and Grant, three. Three apiece. What about you, Sean?
I've never picked only two players, so I'm going to...
Have you?
No, I'm going to go the three. I know I'm going to sound like a broken record, but Bratton two, Caceres two, and the third would probably be... hard-pressed to find somebody else at the moment. Grant. I'll give him Grant.
Yeah.
He works hard.
Minor three to Warland, because...
because he scored the goal. Oh, look, if he hadn't have done that, that ball fell to whoever it was, and it's going in the back of the net.
Right, and honestly, apart from that, I think McGowan had a couple of howlers last year as well, but you would still have said he was one of our best players in the team last year. You haven't, for the most part, noticed McGowan not being there since Warren stepped in. So
he's done a very solid job.
Yeah, he gets my three. Caceres gets two, and I think ABJ gets one, because I really like the way he pressed when he came on, and you know, as Slo said, he's playing out of position and doing well. So that's our review of the game. You know, a bit disappointing. Hopefully some sunshine on the horizon, especially with $50 tickets heading down the M5, depending where you are, to Campbelltown Stadium, which of course brings us on to our preview of Sydney FC versus MacArthur Bulls, Saturday 30th of January. Kickoffs at 7:10 p.m. $50 a ticket for away tickets. We just really want to drive
how
that
much
in.
Is a cowbell?
And you know what? Again, going to last week's pod, because let's just keep spruiking our back catalogue. You know, great points by Addison on cowbell's not actually that bad. It's just the fact that they suck at it, right? They're not doing anything creative with it. So interesting. 7:10 p.m. at Campbelltown Stadium. Watch at the Star Casino, your favourite pub, or Slowey's place. He's hosting, as he's offered earlier in the pod. We did beat them 2-1 in a pre-season game. Does anyone remember anything about that?
I was played up at Macquarie, I think up at the Macquarie training fields. I think maybe.
Do you remember reading a report?
No, not really. But when I saw it come up on the Instagram, I was like, oh, they played MacArthur Rams. That's very strange, playing an MPL3. I'm like, oh no, wait, the Bulls. I think Trent got a goal that game, and maybe Costa as well. I think I could be wrong, but nothing away from the 2-1, and it will be a tough game. They've been pretty solid. Quite good.
I think as well that preseason friendly, they didn't have half their foreign players.
So they were still trialling players and all that. So
look, and again, like, how much can you read into a preseason friendly? I mean, you've seen how serious players sort of take those. So, yeah, I think it might be another tough week for us.
Yeah, I'm feeling that. What's your, speaking of tough weeks then, how do you reckon we'll line up? Let's say everyone's fit.
I think we're pretty much going to go the same. If McGowan's fit, I think he'll come in. Just because Stevie has his 11 that he likes, and I think very much you're going to have to do something really, really serious to displace one of those 11 players.
Not scoring 24 odd games. Or not score, you know, since a year.
Well, that's
not
the other tweet,
play,
right? Anyway, what has it been? It's been exactly a year.
Like a year since he scored from open play.
Costa Barber is just obviously.
Anyway, so, yeah, look, I'd like to see Zulo's staff start, but you'll probably find King again, depending on Zulo's fitness. Of course, you find Brad in there with Retre. I think that goes without saying.
Yeah.
Ninko there with Caceres. I'm still waiting. There's sooner rather than later, and I'm not because of injury or suspension. I think you'll see ABJ start. I think it's a matter of time till he starts.
I feel like that's the only rotation that happens in our team is Caceres and ABJ.
That seems to be the one where he feels confident enough where if one's out of form, he can replace it.
He almost sees like
for like.
And you reckon Costa and Trent up front?
Yep.
Yeah. Does Bobo not
No.
head on the bench?
I think, weren't they saying he's sort of they're thinking mid-February for him. Yeah. Like, just purely because...
Tough.
Just doesn't have the match fitness or whatever.
At least a fortnight.
Yeah. What a shame. A couple of players to watch out for from MacArthur FC. Ivan Franić.
Franić, yeah. And even Mark Milligan, you know, he got a bit of...
Ex-Socceroo.
A bit of... What word?
Stick?
Stick, that's the word I'm looking for. Thanks, James. I bought a vowel. When he signed for them, who's too old? But he's holding his own age, you know. Had quite a lot of caps for the Socceroos. He did well for Victory.
Yeah.
He's 35.
Yeah, well, I think...
36.
You look at those sorts of players, those, you know, industrious, you know, central midfielders or central defensive midfielders. Mm. And that seems to be the one thing where here in Australia it doesn't sort of matter your age. I mean, you know, we were talking about Oli Bozanić. You know, he was the best on park. Yep. How old's he?
Yeah.
40.
He looks it.
Yeah.
And then those are Spanish dudes. I can't pronounce their names. I've got to roll my R's.
Point out to me and I'll say it for you.
I can't see it on the
screen. Okay, well, you're terrible. They've got up front as well Tommy Orr, Lockie Rose, Matt Derbyshire.
Lockie Rose is doing all right.
Miloslav Popovic, because why not? Who knows how many of them will play, because I cannot be bothered going to their Instagram page and looking at their previous lineups. Actually, you know what? While Sean's trying to find his favourite Spanish players.
Bernat Exabaria.
Pinchos. Great food. Have you seen some of the back and forth going on Twitter between the original bullpen and the club endorsed bullpen? I think it was like 2 or 3 days ago.
I would definitely recommend everybody go and check out that Twitter spat.
Yeah, I think A-League Memes... Sorry,
I'm out of the loop.
Sorry. A-League Memes posted it.
But I think basically there's two groups in terms of their home end. There's a club independent version of the bullpen, and then I'm not sure if you're aware that basically the MacArthur Rams MacArthur Bulls.
We suck.
Jeez, that's gonna be very hard to get used to not saying. But yeah, the Bulls organization trademarked the name the MacArthur bullpen or something.
Yeah.
So
despite it being originally a fan group,
so there's there's two sides of their group. There's an official club official fan group, and then there's a non-club associated groups. And so it appears to be two people. They've got an incredible home end. And they're basically just sort of going back and forth at each other. Just about sort of real kind of club and home end insider stuff, then them just airing out all their dirty laundry
on Twitter.
Can you share a bit, James?
The quick summary is, because we don't want to get bogged down on MacArthur bullpen stuff in a Sydney FC podcast, is you've got the bullpen official and you've got the original MacArthur bullpen. And the spat starts off with something about ticket pricing or something.
They were having a go at us for potentially not coming.
Yeah, right. Basically saying that the people in the bullpen are charged the same price and they're not complaining. It just shows if these Sydney FC people are true fans or not. The original MacArthur bullpen person who was kicked out of the bullpen and you know, disassociated himself with the club, then responds with, yes, the true fans rhetoric. Did the club did the club chairman, who is your owner or boss, teach you that strategy? Are people out of work due to the pandemic not true fans? Way to stand up for the low, mid, socioeconomic folk of the area you claim to cheer for. And then it basically goes on where they're going back and forth. You know, the official bullpen responds with, is your only comeback saying that we're owned by the club? You know, and then it's like, you're assigned by the boss and you know, you're a corporate puppet. And then the official bullpen saying, yeah, but like, you didn't do anything. You had a year to get everything sorted out. It's just hilarious. So A-League memes.
There's a very good meme in there. From the life of, taken from the life of Brian, where it's like the people's front of Judea versus.
I've got to look that up later tonight.
So we won't get bogged down on it. Definitely look it up if you want to laugh. And look, the reason I did bring that up for a purpose, A, because it's hilarious, and B, given the last 2 weeks with Slow Addison, we're so lucky to have the people that we do involved with taking an active part in the Cove. It just kind of drives home, again, if you haven't picked it up already, that we are the lucky club. We are one of the lucky clubs. And, you know, what? It might not be harmonious, but we'd never bloody know.
Yeah.
Right? And that's the thing. It probably is, but also it could not be.
Yeah, they're at the bottom of the Cooks River.
Yeah.
I think you just go back to probably one of your first ever guests, Graham Ewer Jubal, and, you know, his kind of, his leadership and the way that kind of he approached things is sort of the way that everybody in our leadership group has kind of taken on, which is, We're here to work with the club. You know, Addison was talking last week about, liking to have a home end that actually supports the club. You know, the club comes first and focus on our club rather than on other teams and other supporters groups and that sort of thing. So it's a real cognizant choice that the leadership makes is to, whatever we do, you know, it's about supporting the club first and foremost. It's not about any individual. It's not about any person. It's not about other clubs or anything. It's about Sydney FC.
Yep. Very, very lucky. So that's our kind of that's our votes.
A score.
Yeah, sorry. So yeah, we all agree it's going to be probably the same lineup. I don't think we need to kind of delve too deep into that. Predicted score, Slow.
Ooh, I'm gonna go maybe 2-0 to them.
Oh.
Sure.
I love it.
I think we're having a lot of troubles going forward, and I don't see where the goals are going to come from for us, and I feel that it maybe will be very similar to the game that we just saw, where it's quite an even match, but maybe we get caught once or twice on the counter.
I think 1-1. I think our response will be 1-1.
I was going to say 1-0 to us, but I thought you know what, goals might not be at a premium, tight game, nil all.
Yeah, unless you sort of our defence. I'd like 1-1. If I'm totally honest, I reckon 2-0 is probably closer to it. And I wouldn't be shocked. Our final quick preview for the pod is, of course, we play in the W League as well against Newcastle Jets on the 31st. The kickoff's at 6:05 p.m. at Cromer Park. Previous results, we did beat them 2-1 a couple of weeks ago with Rachel Lowe and Taylor Ray as the goal scorers. Predicted lineup, Sean, what's your...
Oh, look, you'd almost, you know, forget that W League is still going because they're, like, similar to us, they're getting like 2 weeks break in between and can only play against New South Wales teams at the moment, so they're playing Newcastle again. Predicted lineup, you know, anyone who gets a niggle from the previous week's game, you've got 2 weeks to get over it. So, which is a blessing and a curse that you're not really getting that momentum.
Afford to pay your strongest 11 constantly, right?
So, in terms of rotation, you probably wouldn't see much. So, with that being said, the predicted lineup, I reckon will be, provided no one's got a niggle in training or hurt themselves rolling ankle, you'll see the exact same 11. With Nat Tobin, Ellie Brush, Ellie Green, and Charlotte McLean at the back four, the wonderful Teresa Plyce, Taylor Ray, and Mackenzie Hawksby. That middle three is just ridiculously good at the moment. And I was thinking with Lizzie Rolston, if she comes back in that centre, or comes back in his fit to play that centre back spot there with Ellie Brush, Nat Tobin, you know, would naturally push into the midfield, but you'd be hard-pressed to push anybody out of that middle three at the moment. And then up front...
Best of Beanie?
The best of Beanie, yes, well said, James. The best of Beanie, Queen of Beanie, with Courtney Vine, who's so good. Get her up front with the boys. She could knock in a couple of goals. She is just brilliant. With Remy as well. Remy hasn't scored a goal, but she's still doing a lot of work up front and assisting and whatnot. Great runs off the ball. I wouldn't mind seeing Alira Toby get a bit of a start. But other than that, you know, Claire Wheeler, I'd like to see her get a bit more game time coming off the bench. But the game they had against Wanderers a couple of weeks ago, just copy and paste. It ain't broken.
brilliant game.
Yeah.
Yep. Do you get much of a chance to keep up with the women? I ashamedly do not.
No, he's married. You know, he doesn't get any chance to keep up with the women.
What? Hinge? What's that?
I would say probably I watch maybe 3 or 4 games a year.
Yeah, cool.
So I don't. As you're talking through the team, I know a couple of the players.
Yeah.
Wasn't Alira Toby? Was she?
She was at Brisbane last year.
No, but wasn't she sort of like, I guess, one of our big name signings to come?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, that was huge. She was one of the Golden Boot winners last season. She's fantastic.
Yeah.
But it's just hard. You know, there's good competition at training. It's just hard to break into that starting 11 at the moment.
Yeah.
And most of the players we signed were forwards. So when they announced Alira Toby, and I can't remember the goalkeeper they signed, I was a bit surprised because I'm like, don't we need a centre back with Alana Kennedy going and Liz Rolston still injured?
We're three, you know, we're 3 from 3, so I guess it's that thing. And you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Ah, it certainly ain't. Mm.
If you are thinking of getting across to the women's game, like I said, 31st of January, 6:05 p.m. Cromer Park. I have to say, as someone who's been exposed to the women through this podcast, as in the Sydney FC women's team, not Sean's Hinge account.
Hit me up.
Jesus. Very nice, very smooth. Seeing the derby against Wanderers as the double header has absolutely given me incentive to go and you know, follow them a lot more closely than I have been. So if you can, if you have the opportunity, absolutely get down to one of the W League
drive
games.
Up to Cromer.
Oh, look, it doesn't have to be Cromer Park. It can be
ground.
Any of the
it's
women's
a great
games,
ground
right?
To watch football at.
Yeah, so
not a bad seat in the house.
That sums up, I guess, our preview of the W League.
I will say predict a score, James. Oh,
yeah, we're boring.
I'm gonna look. They did have a tight 2-1 win where they probably could have should have won by more, but I'll just say a good solid 2-0 will win to the girls.
All right. We'll hold you to that next week, see hold what happens. That almost wraps us up here for this yet another extended edition of Sky Blue Stories, currently sitting at a minute 42.
Sorry, Jonathan.
Yeah, sorry, Jonathan.
We promised Jonathan about an hour and 15.
Yeah, and we took the opportunity to sponge some more out of Slow. So we're fine. So how was your first co-hosting experience? Rather than guest...
Look, I've enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Hopefully the response is good. I do have a question.
Uh-oh.
It was sent in by one Jonathan.
Oh, shit. He's actually stitching us.
And Jonathan wants to know.
What a bastard.
How many times do you have to meet someone before you can be invited to their wedding?
Just we'll say to that, if I ever get married, believe that she's coming freight from Sweden or Russia with love, I would invite you, James.
Thank you.
I would have invited you to my wedding.
I'm sorry.
Or even you could be my witness down at the registry office.
That's very nice. Yeah. The story there is I did not invite Sean to my wedding because I barely knew Sean.
And then it was really awkward that I bumped into him at Bondi Junction while he was doing some gift shopping.
About 3 days later.
Yeah, after I got married. Wedding.
And Sean lords that over me despite having met him 5 times and never socialised outside of football.
And that was the day of Bondi Junction. I'll never park in that car park again. It's just impossible to get out of.
Well, you went to Bondi Junction. Yeah. So thank you for your question, Mr. Jonathan Finger. I'm not sure it was really nice of you to turn Brendan Slowey into your puppet.
Just like the bullpen.
Yeah. So, yeah.
But can you see yourself back again, Slowey, you know, in that seat?
Anytime.
I can call you Jonathan.
It's my middle name.
Big Daddy.
Ah, there we go. Yeah. Right. And an actual daddy. So thank you for joining us. It was an absolute joy. And of course we, you know, couldn't resist, but, take the opportunity to pick your brain again, so I hope you don't mind. Once again, thank you for joining us. Appreciate your company. Join us again next week, and happy footballing.